of Exodus, chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. We observe the Lord's Supper this evening. Exodus chapter 12 records the Passover that was given to the people of Israel while they were still in bondage in Egypt. It also gives instructions how to remember that Passover and how to celebrate it at a later date after they had been delivered. And in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul tells the Corinthians, Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. It was at the Passover feast and meal that our Lord instituted the Lord's Supper to remind us every time we take it that He is our Passover. He is our sacrifice. He is the blood of the Lamb that caused the angel of death to pass over the people of Israel when they were in Egypt. And even then, in the giving of the Passover to the people of Israel, our Lord told them how they were to celebrate the feast and what the feast was to remind them of on a daily basis and every time they observed it. And we have similar reminders ourselves in the Lord's Supper. In Exodus 11, verse 9, the Word of God says, Then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh will not listen to you, so that my wonders will be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron performed all these wonders before Pharaoh, yet the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the sons of Israel go out of his land. Many miracles had been performed by Moses and Aaron up to this point that it would seem that Pharaoh would agree to let them go. And even once had agreed to let them go, then changed his mind again and hardened his heart against the Lord. And so God brought this one last miracle to Moses and Aaron and to the people of Israel in chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, This month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, On the 10th of this month, they are each one to take a lamb for themselves, according to their father's household, a lamb for each household. Now, if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his neighbor nearest to his house are to take one according to the number of persons in them, according to what each man should eat. You are to divide the lamb. Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. And they shall eat the flesh that same night, roasted with fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled at all with water, but rather roasted with fire. Both its head and its legs along with its entrails. And you shall not leave any of it over until morning. But whatever is left of it until morning, you shall burn with fire. Now you shall eat it in this manner. With your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night. and will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance. Let us pray together. Father, we ask that you would bless the reading and the hearing and the teaching of your word tonight. We thank you that it is truth, without blemish or spotless, that it is the whole truth, and that we can depend upon it to build our lives. We ask that you would help us every time we read the Word of God to give attention to it and respect to it as the Word that comes from a God who made heaven and earth and who spared not his own Son for the redemption of sinners. Help us to honor the Word of God and to listen to it. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would fall upon our minds and hearts to understand and obey it as well. We thank you for the Old Testament, which tells us of Christ to come. We thank you for the New Testament that tells us how Christ came, that we may understand the full plan of God and the whole counsel of God as we live today. We thank you for this event so clearly recorded in the book of Exodus, of what happened in Egypt so long ago when you had mercy upon your people and you brought them out of darkness into freedom and light. Help us to understand the implications of this great example and truth as we consider Christ our Passover, who has been sacrificed for us. We pray in his blessed name. Amen. Verse 14 says that the Passover was to be a memorial, an annual reminder to the people of Israel, a feast to the Lord, a day of celebration, a feast of celebration, for God's deliverance from the land of Egypt. The people of Israel had been in bondage for over 400 years. They once were the free people of God, and they were brought down into Egypt by Joseph to save them from the famine and to be a land of blessing for them. But over the years, a Pharaoh arose who knew not Joseph and brought them into terrible bondage and slavery. God sent Moses and Aaron to deliver them from this slavery, from this bondage that prevented them from worshiping the Lord their God as they had been told to and taught to all these generations. And at first it seemed that Pharaoh would listen and let them go out of the land. But he hardened his heart against the teachings of Moses and the miracles of Moses and made the slavery of the people of Egypt even worse. And so God sent this last sign. It was a terrible sign. Every firstborn in the land of Egypt would die on this night when the angel of God, the angel of death, passed over the land of Egypt. The firstborn of Pharaoh would die. The firstborn of the prisoner in the dungeon would die. And the firstborn of the cattle would die. Death would come because God would judge sin justly and righteously. And those who did not live in houses that were painted with the blood of the Lamb, the firstborn of each of those households, even of the people of Israel, would die. And so God gave them the command to take a lamb, an unblemished lamb, from a sheep or a goat, and at twilight to kill the lamb and to roast it and to eat the lamb wholly, and what was not eaten would be burned before daybreak. And the blood of that lamb was to be taken, and with a branch of hyssop was to be dipped and painted on the doorpost and the lintel of the people of Israel. And God promised, when I pass over the land and I see the blood, I will pass over you. The judgment of God bypassed the people of Israel because of the blood of the Lamb. That's the Passover. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. And in the same way, deserving the judgment and wrath of God without the blood of the Lamb, when we come to Jesus Christ and believe in His sacrifice for our sins, and that He willingly and gladly loved us and shed His blood to be the payment due to our sins, when we by faith cling to Him, God will pass over us in judgment. He will not bring to pass what we deserve. And so Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. This was a night of mercy for the people of Israel. He did not pass over them because they deserved it. It does not say that He passed over them because they were more righteous than the Egyptians. He just passed over them because of the blood of the Lamb. It was an act of grace, but it had to be received by faith and trust. They had to kill the Lamb. They had to get a branch of hyssop and dip it in the blood of the Lamb, and they had to paint the doorpost and the lintels by faith. They had never seen this before. In fact, they had good reason to be discouraged and not to do it, because all of the miracles that Moses and Aaron had performed up to this day had not been heeded by Pharaoh, and it actually had hardened his heart even more. Why then will another miracle open his heart? Why should we sacrifice the Lamb? And why should we dress up as if we were going to walk out of our homes the next day? It has not worked so far. Why will it work now? But that was part of the command. Not only are you to kill the Lamb and paint the doorpost and lintels of the house, but, He said, you're to eat it in this manner, with your loins girded. They were to be ready for walking and working. They were to have sandals on their feet. They were to be ready to go somewhere. They were to have a staff in their hand, this staff that is used to make walking easier so you could walk a further distance. And they were to eat it in haste, because when daylight came, they would be leaving. It is the Lord's Passover. And they had to exercise that faith. They had to take the lamb in their hands and kill it. They had to take the blood of the lamb and apply it to their houses. And they had to dress and be ready to go as an act of faith that God would indeed deliver them. And they did. And so must we apply the blood of the Lamb to ourselves. Christ has died for sinners. He has called everyone to repent and believe the gospel. And He promises, just as God promised the people of Israel, that everyone who will depend upon His blood to save them from the wrath of God, that very wrath will pass over them. No more shall we fear God's wrath. For there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But that's not all the Passover was given for. For in Exodus chapter 13, after giving instructions in the rest of 12 and the first part of chapter 13, of how they were to observe the Passover when they were delivered out of Egypt and entered the promised land, there was another thing the Passover was to remind them of. And sometimes this has been passed over in the explanation of this feast. In verse 6, he says, "For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, And on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten through the 7 days, and nothing leavened shall be seen among you, nor shall any leaven be seen among you in all your borders. And you shall tell your son on that day, it is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. And it shall serve as a sign to you on your hand, and as a reminder on your forehead, that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth. For with a powerful hand the Lord brought you out of Egypt. Therefore you shall keep this ordinance as is at its appointed time from year to year. Every time they observed the Passover feast and the feast of unleavened bread in Israel, after they had been delivered into the promised land, they were to say to their children, the reason we celebrate this Passover is because of what the Lord did for me when he delivered me out of the land of Egypt. We ought to tell our children every time we observe the Lord's Supper what it means. And we ought to be able to say it to them in these kinds of words. This is what the Lord did for me. I was once under the judgment and wrath of God. But the Lamb of God, who is our Passover, has been sacrificed. And because of his blood, God's judgment has passed over me. You need to come to Christ as well as your great Lamb of God. And secondly, this Passover is a reminder that the law of the Lord is not to depart from my mouth. God did not call the people from Egypt to be rebels in the wilderness. He did not save them from the wrath of Pharaoh so they could live any old way in the promised land. He saved them by the blood of the Lamb, by grace, through faith alone. And in the Passover, to be reminded that their relationship to God is based upon grace through faith and the sacrifice of another, but for another purpose as well, that they may love God and keep his commandments. When you tell someone to obey God, it is not legalism. It is not negative. It is a simple act of respect and love to a God who has given you the gift of life. And that is what God calls us to in the Lord's Supper as well. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Christ has appeared for this reason, that he might bring forth a people who no longer live according to their lusts, but who bring forth a life of good deeds. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So like the people of Israel, we come to the Lord's Supper, and we remind ourselves that Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed, and we rejoice that a salvation that we did not earn and that we do not deserve has been showered upon us as a gift from above. And it warms our hearts that God would be so gracious and so kind to accomplish it, much less to apply it to our own hearts, and to allow us to be raised and live in a place where we could learn of the name of Jesus when so many perish in darkness. But having come to this table and been reminded again of the redemption and the forgiveness and the mercy and the life that has been given to us in Christ, we also come not only to remember his death and resurrection, but to remember that our love to him is measured by dedication to keep His commandments and to order our lives as He has given us to do. Just like the Passover in the New Testament, just like the Lord's Supper in the New Testament, in the Old Testament and the Lord's Supper in the New Testament. As you look at your life this week, this past week, you have much to be thankful for, because you do not earn the right to take the Lord's Supper on the basis of this past week's life, but rather on the worthiness and accomplished sacrifice of the Son of God for your soul. But at the same time, in giving thanks for such a great gift, we are also called to dedicate ourselves again to loving this Lord, and this week, with His help, ordering our lives as He has commanded. So let us come to the supper with thanksgiving and remember how He has delivered us from the wrath that we well deserve, and give thanks that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But let us also, by faith, bow before that same Lord and with His help promise to do His will this week, to heed His commandments, to learn His commandments, and with His help to do them. His great love demands no less from us. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, this little supper that You have given is so simple in its symbols and what it represents. Just as the Passover in the Old Testament was, it is so easy to see how the blood of the Lamb was the cause for the passing over of the people of Israel, the protection of their life from the judgment of God. And we ask that You would help us always to have the simplicity of the meaning of the supper in our minds when we take it, that Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. But even in the Old Testament, the Passover was meant to remind the people that such a gracious God needs to be obeyed. And we ask that that same law that once was written on the heart of Adam and Eve, later written on tablets of stone, and taught by the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ and His apostles this week, that we would give heed to Jesus Christ and His commandments, and by His grace and for His glory, to pattern our lives in loving obedience to Him, for He is worthy. Help us, as Paul told the Philippians, to consider one another's needs as more important than our own, to do all things without grumbling and disputing, and to give thanks and have joy that Jesus Christ has brought sinners to heaven. We pray in His blessed name. Amen.